Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, talk about timing. I knew that our producer, Caden, had lined up this conversation with Montana Congressman Troy Downing from the Eastern Congressional District for us here today. And, man, the timing just worked out great. We got some great news for Montana, great news for American-made energy, great news for Colstrip, great news for the Bull Mountains mine south of Roundup. And all of this is, of course, great news for Butte as well. It's great news for the entire state. But first, hey, last night, Montana Congressman Troy Downing, he wore the lucky number 47 for the congressional baseball game. And Troy, you guys came out the big winners last night too.
We did, and I got to tell you, that's so much fun. But the biggest thing about that, it's obviously a bipartisan event to raise money for charity, and raised just shy of $3 million. You know, we're at National Stadium, so we're at a professional major league stadium there that was just packed. I mean, tens of thousands of people out there, a huge amount of energy, and all in good fun. But I will tell you, a 13-2 win. That's kind of the cherry on the Sunday there, the icing on the cake.
Yeah, I was at an event last night, and we had the game on in the background. And every time I glanced over to look at the score, the Democrats it was so symbolic. They just could not do anything right. I mean, the balls were bouncing out of their gloves. They were chewing up grass in the outfield trying to catch a. I don't know how many errors they had.
God bless them all for. But, it's a lot of fun. But I got to tell you, one other thing that's really, valuable to me being on that team is, I go out and practice every morning. I leave about 5:15 in the morning. And you're with a group of your colleagues that you wouldn't normally be spending that kind of time with. So, I got, built really good relationships with everybody from, Tim Burchett from Tennessee to, to Stubby from Florida, and just so many good relationships that you build there, and that just really helps when you're trying to get things done in the House of Representatives. To know these guys really really personally and have strong relationships. So every early morning was worth it just for that.
Oh yeah, and you have a ton of fun, and it's those guys need to have that every now and then back there, because everybody can so easily be at each other's throats, and then oftentimes that's why a lot of stuff doesn't get done. Well, I know you've got several great news topics to cover here this morning. Friday we got the good news about the Bull Mountains mine south of Roundup, and then just yesterday we got good news for Colstrip and American Energy. Now with President Trump basically reversing a couple of bad Biden-era rules that very clearly were targeting Colstrip and coal-fired power plants. So reversing the Matz rule, reversing the CCP rule as well, which is, of course, accurately titled. It's not the clean power plan. It's the CCP plan to benefit the communist Chinese at the expense of Montana. We'll talk about that and more with Congressman Troy Downing right after this. Stand by.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana. Statewide, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, Kevin and Billings, stand by. Definitely want to get to your phone call, but we got a couple of big ticket items we got to get to first here quick with Congressman Downing. Congressman Downing, even though President Trump has reversed these Biden-era rules designed to shut down Colstrip and other coal-fired power plants, I did see you sent out a press release here a couple of days ago about legislation you have introduced to effectively provide the same type of regulatory relief. And this is so important because, okay, President Trump can sign an executive order today. That's good. But another administration could do the opposite a few years from now.
Absolutely, and that's incredibly important. And just a little background is the Biden administration last year in April put a rule out on MATS, mercury air toxins standards for the EPA that was really overreaching and was, in my opinion, designed to shut down Colstrip. And so we have basically an EO that's rolling back those requirements. But an EO, as you know, that can be undone with a future administration. So I have a bill out there to make that permanent, and it's you got to love, you know, you being military as I was, you got to love acronyms. So my act is called the Coal Power Act, but Coal Power stands for Combating Overregulation and Limitation of Proven Operable Working Energy Resources. But the net of that is it codifies that EO to make sure that we go back to reasonable regulation that, you know, was there until Biden, you know, put this new rule in last year and allow coal power to continue doing what we all care about, you know, not just, you know, having those jobs in Colstrip and the money that comes to Montana because of it, but we need reliable, affordable energy. And if we take our eye off the ball on that, that affects everybody, and that's something that could just rob the American dream out of any family starting out and just make it more difficult for anybody to continue.
Yeah, where our country is so desperate for electricity, Silicon Valley is so desperate for electricity right now. I forget the numbers that CEI shared on our show. I think we're scheduled to lose 19 gigawatts of power, and at the same time, we still need another 30 plus gigawatts of power in that same time period. So that's a 50 plus spread.
Yeah, and here's the thing is, you know, you hear, you know, all of the above, and I think that's fair. I think the markets should decide. But if you look at what's happening, and actually Chris Wright, Secretary of Energy, is really good at articulating this. If you look at what's happening with wind and solar, and there's been times when we've had needs when the, you know, sun's not shining and the wind may be blowing, but not enough. And the interesting thing that he brought up is when the wind is blowing, you know, that may be 2% of the requirement. So they just turned down, you know, the coal power plants to deal with that for that 2% and then turn it back up. So the way he put it is he said these wind farms are basically just, you know, parasites on the grid that are taking away from what we already know works.
Yeah.
So let's make sure that we are, you know, continuing to provide reliable, affordable energy. Well, you know, we let the markets decide, and you know, as we're in an innovative species, you know, if we find better, more efficient ways of doing it, let's absolutely keep exploring that. But for right now, there's really no substitute to, you know, our traditional energy sources.
Yeah, speaking of wind and that parasite on the grid, lots of opposition to these proposed wind power projects in eastern Montana. We've got a guest on later on around 9:40 who's going to give us an update out of Glendive on that front. Let's talk beautiful clean coal a little bit more. And great news, the Trump administration approving the plan to keep the Bull Mountains mine south of Roundup up and running. That's great news. But again, seems like we still could use that Crow Revenue Act to also guarantee the continued future. Because again, another administration could shut down this mining plan because it's on federal land, whereas with the Crow Revenue Act, you give access to private land coal that the feds can't as easily shut down.
Yeah, that's incredibly important. And so for anybody that hasn't been following this is, you know, the Bull Mountains Mine up in Musselshell County is a checkerboard of, you know, private, state, and federal land. And the Biden administration basically rescinded permits to mine coal under federal land. So President Trump undid that, so we have a little bit of runway. So the Crow Revenue Act as a more permanent fix for that. So the Crow Revenue Act takes those federal sections and swaps them out with private trust sections so that a future administration can't do that. And one thing that's important for people to understand is the nature of longwall mining. If they have to stop at the borders of this federal land, it basically sterilizes the rest. It makes it economically unfeasible and to some extent unsafe to mine the coal in the future if they have to stop at that border and then start on another section. So it essentially sterilizes huge chunks of that coal that we can't ever economically feasibly mine. So it's really important that we get this through. I'm really, you know, happy that the president did that because they were going to run out of coal by the end of this year and have to shut down that operation if we didn't get that extension.
Yeah, it's a huge job provider for Yellowstone County as well. And, of course, they're donating a lot of money to build that indoor hockey arena as well, thanks to that beautiful clean coal. Congressman Downing, hold that thought. Let's sneak in a quick call before the break here. Kevin in Billings, did you have a quick question or comment?
Yes, this has to do with the Beartooth or Absorkes up there. And if you read the news, we lost another hiker trying to get across Rimrock Lake there, across the beaten path trail. And I don't know if this is a bureaucratic thing, a budgetary thing, but I can't imagine that the Forest Service wouldn't recognize the importance of, at a minimum, a temporary structure in there to get across Rimrock Lake. And, you know, it's been 2 or 3 years since the 22 flood now, and I don't know if Mr. Downing could help out in that situation and look into this to see what the holdup is about getting something in there.
Great question. Yeah, that's a great question. I asked that question last year, which is, what is the holdup on getting that bridge over that trail replaced, especially after all the money that was spent the last few years?
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
That was such a great question there from Kevin in Billings. Yeah, I think it was last year, just a tragic case. You guys remember all the flooding from just a few years ago that hit the Beartooth Mountains all the way over to Paradise Valley, the Gardner area, et cetera. And so it wiped out a lot of that infrastructure, some of the trails, some of the bridges and things like that. And so, yeah, a popular trail, the bridge got washed out. And so there was a fallen log that went over the creek there. Well, it's really more like a fast-flowing river during certain times of the year. And so a young man was walking across the log to cross, fell into the river, and tragically lost his life. And then now, just here in the past few days, another tragic case where another hiker swept down the river. And I know the National Guard and others launched aircraft and helicopters to get out there and aid in the search effort. But, yeah, Congressman Downing, the federal government was wasting money left and right. Sex changes in Guatemala, all this crazy stuff. We know that they had enough money. We know. So what's the holdup? Why has it taken so long to replace some of this infrastructure? And, you know, could something be done to speed it up? Is it bureaucratic red tape, or what's the holdup there?
Yeah, I think there's just been so many moving parts, just getting everything back on track and making sure that we're deploying capital where we need to and not throwing it away where it's being wasted. And I think we've gone through the brunt of that kind of reshuffling, and these are all things that we'll be advocating strongly on. And, you know, we need to make sure that we're investing in our infrastructure, that we're doing repairs. And the biggest thing is where we've, you know, appropriated and allocated funds, make sure that those are actually getting those projects done that are important to my district, important to Montana. So, you know, we'll be looking closely at that. And I think that you're starting to see the bureaucratic, start to feel the pain as we start to, you know, really dig into a lot of these issues and restructure some of these organizations. And I'm just excited about what comes out on the other side. But there's, you know, as Trump has said from the beginning, there's going to be a little short-term pain as we get everything, you know, figured out. But we will be advocating strongly on making sure that Montana is getting the funds that have been promised and allocated to start dealing with our infrastructural issues everywhere from, you know, bridges to, you know, obviously there's a lot of infrastructural issues up on the Milk River watershed and across the state, making sure that we're doing the right things there.
Yeah, and at least the good news on the Milk River and the St. Mary's project is they're hoping to be, you know, mission complete by the end of June here, which was faster than a lot of us thought that they might get that done. Yeah, I spoke with the Beartooth Ranger District about that very issue and that very bridge last year and said, hey, what's the holdup here? And they said, look, we've just got a lot of infrastructure to replace, so it takes a lot of time. So I wonder if that particular bridge, which has now, you know, had two tragedies on it here, maybe there's a way to at least prioritize that one and up that particular bridge on the priority list.
Yeah, well, what we can do in this office is make sure sure that we do elevate, you know, those kinds of issues and see what we can do to streamline that, because we need to start moving forward clearly.
You know, back to Colstrip and American-made energy, you know, I was talking with a Butte Silverboat Chief Executive J.P. Gallagher, and, you know, they've just inked an initial agreement for land with a $4 billion data center there. Well, that's going to require a lot of energy. So that's going to need, they're going to need Colstrip. They're going to need everything, you know, every ounce of power they can get. Same thing for the mine in Butte. And so it just got me thinking that, like, you know, I talked to Senator Steve Daines earlier this week as well. Like, it seems like we're really paving the way to not just saving Colstrip 3 and 4, but potentially reopening Colstrip 1 and 2.
You know, I that would be an awesome outcome if we could, because as you just alluded to, the power requirements are going through the roof, and that's going to get worse before it gets better. And there's so many parts where we need to remain competitive in the United States of America against our adversaries, and a big part of that is in the digital asset and artificial intelligence space. You know, China is not putting up roadblocks on creating power, and the biggest limiting factor we have right now in being able to do this is not just generation. I mean, obviously, we need to generate more power, but we need to be able to transmit it as well. And so doing infrastructural investments in our grid are incredibly important. So, you know, obviously, Colstrip makes sense for that type of investment in terms of, like, data centers, because that is a point of generation. But we need to make sure we can get this, you know, across the state and hopefully across the country. And that need is right now, because innovation is not going to happen in the United States of America if we can't power it. And you know that our adversaries are just building power plants like crazy with no, you know, no limiting factors of any kind of regulation. They just want to be competitive by any means necessary. So we need to, you know, make sure that we stay in the game and we can keep up with that, so that innovation's happening here, not there.
Congressman Dunning, I know we only got you for a few minutes here this morning. Can we chat with you for a couple more minutes, or do you got to run right now? I know we only had you for a few minutes.
No, I've actually, you found me at a rare point where I've actually got a little bit of time.
Oh, okay, perfect. All right, well, sounds good, because I've definitely got a couple more things I wanted to bring up. I wanted to see how concerned you are that these radical left-wing riots and protests that we've seen in L.A., Chicago, and elsewhere, that if these planned left-wing protests this Saturday could get out of hand, how concerned you are, because there's apparently several that are planned in Montana for this Saturday. So how concerned are you that those might get out of hand? Wanted to get your take on that. First, though, let's go to Marilyn in Lolo. Marilyn, did you have a quick question or a comment? Thanks for the call.
Yes, please. Thanks for taking my call. Troy, so I've been wanting, a lot of people have been wanting Planned Parenthood defunded. They get like $700 million a year, and they are so evil. And I've been getting mixed messages that, oh, yeah, they've defunded. No, they're not. Yes, they are. No, they're not. And I called your staff, and he said, yes, they are. But then when he actually read me the portion of the bill, it didn't sound like they're being defunded to me at all. And then I heard, oh, yeah, they're going to only, they're going to get $20 million taken away. So, which means, my God, they would still get.
Still get a lot of taxpayer dollars. Yeah, no, great question, Marilyn. Thanks for the call. So, Congressman Downing,
just a couple of points on that. You know, obviously, this is a very personal issue for me. And on the one big beautiful bill, you know, we haven't seen anything back from the Senate yet, and so we'll see where that ends up, and we'll have to reconcile the Senate's version with ours. I know that Medicaid funding for defunding of Planned Parenthood is going through this one big beautiful bill. But one of the things I just want to point out, because, you know, clearly, you know, I, and I'm sure, Aaron, many of your listeners and Marilyn and Lolo there, we don't want to see any federal funding going to infanticide. We just don't want to see that. And so right now we're trying to work within the framework of the opportunity that we have. And our opportunity is reconciliation. And so reconciliation, the limiting factor there is it has to deal with financing. It can't be, you know, strict policy, or it will not pass with, you know, the parliamentarian will kick it out and won't allow us to keep it in with a 51 vote majority in the Senate. So that's our tool right there. As long as we can keep it to the money part, and it's not, it doesn't look like an end run to change a non-financial policy. So a lot of the things that we're doing there is just trying to, you know, look at the, you know, fiscal impacts of these and try to essentially limit, if not eliminate, these programs in the one big beautiful bill so that we can actually see that become law. And so we're working hard on that. But I'm with you, Marilyn, and I'm sure, Aaron, a lot of your listeners, that I don't think a single penny. Actually, I think that, you know, but the whole, I'm a pro-life person. I think that it's evil, and our government shouldn't be involved in that.
Yeah, we shouldn't be funding it. And Planned Parenthood, they'll say, oh, well, we don't use that money to fund abortion. Oh, BS. You know, they put it in one pocket versus the other. You're exactly right. It's a shell game. This Saturday, well, there's good news and there's bad news. The bad news is these far-left protesters are planning events here in Montana. So I've heard from listeners already who are concerned that the left may get out of control, given the staged, the planned, the deliberate rioting that they've seen elsewhere across the country. How concerned are you on that front? And then on the bright side, this Saturday, a remarkable anniversary, the 250th birthday of the United States Army. It's also Flag Day and President Trump's birthday as well.
Well, I'm going to tell you, what we're watching unfold in California right now is just despicable. They've completely abandoned law and order in that state, and it's horrible to watch. And actually, one of the things, and Aaron, you'll probably, you know, feel the same way here. You know, my family came from another country. You know, my ancestors were, you know, Icelandic and Norwegian, but, you know, I'm not lighting cars on fire and swinging Norwegian flags over it. I think if you come to this nation, you know, you can have pride in the culture you came from, but you're an American now, or you're not. You gotta make that decision. And it really, really bugs me when I see riots and police cars on fire with people waving, you know, Mexican flags or South American flags. It just tells you what we've been saying as Republicans for, you know, the entire Biden administration. We're having an invasion at the southern border. And thank God we got President Trump to, you know, stop that invasion. And now we need to start figuring out what, you know, what policies we actually want as a nation for immigration, and do that in a sane way. We're a nation of law and order. We need to, you know, continue doing that.
Well, and hopefully they've realized, too, that, you know, Montanans aren't going to put up with that nonsense. They don't even try that nonsense here.
One minute to go.
So, yeah, your call. You want to talk about that or the 250th birthday for the great United States Army? Your call.
Well, two things. I share your sentiment that that's not going to happen in Montana, so I feel good about that. On the 250th anniversary, I'm excited, doing a big parade there. You know, we've had a little bit of negative, you know, feedback on the cost, but you know what? What do we need to do to inspire this next generation to have pride in our military and want to join it? How much do we spend on Blue Angels and Thunderbirds to get young men and women to say, hey, I want to be part of that. I want peace through strength. I want to be fighting for this nation that's been so good to me. And I think that, you know, the little bit of money spent on that is money well spent if it inspires this next generation to actually serve this nation.
I totally agree. We've got to instill pride in America, especially in our youth once again. And look, where do you find that in this country? 4th of July parades, a 250th anniversary of the Army parade, a great American rodeo, one of the best ways to instill pride in the next generation. Congressman Downing, great to catch up with you. Thanks for the time. It was fun to sneak in some phone calls as well. Appreciate your time this morning, and great job in the baseball game last night. All right, stand by.
This is where Montana talks at with Lane Nordlund.
Well, Montana's winter wheat condition ratings are 57% good to excellent and just 22% poor to very poor. On the other hand, spring wheat condition ratings across Montana not shaping up too great. Here's USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey.
They look at the spring wheat numbers for the week ending June 8th. We finished up, obviously, with the planting last week, so looking at the spring wheat emergence numbers, 82% of the crop emerged by June 8th, 1 point ahead of average, 4 points behind last year's 86%. Crop is fully emerged now in Minnesota, South Dakota, and Washington, but we are seeing some delays in emergence due to drought in Montana. Just 63% emerged, five-year average 87%. And speaking of drought, that is pulling the condition down in some areas, notably in Montana. Overall, just 53% of the spring wheat rated good to excellent, 9% very poor to poor. And while that does represent an improvement from last week when we were at 50% good to excellent and 13% very poor to poor, there are those concerns. Montana wheat currently rated 26% poor, none of it very poor. And I do want to point out, last year at this time, the much better rated spring wheat crop was 72% good to excellent and just 3% very poor to poor on a national basis.
Winter wheat looks pretty good driving out in the countryside in my neck of the woods, but spring wheat, on the other hand, looking pretty tough. I'm Lane Northlund.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
You know, one thing that we were going to get to, I chatted with Congressman Troy Downing about it off air during one of our breaks. And, of course, we just ran out of time. You know, we always try to sneak in as many phone calls as we can with your questions and your comments as well. But additional spending cuts, something that's got to happen. $2 trillion deficit that Joe Biden handed off to President Trump on top of a, you know, near $37 trillion deficit or debt already. So anyway, I went in. I want to pull up a story because there is a vote taking place later today. One thing that Congressman Downing told me is that, hey, later today they're voting on one of those very things to peel back some of that spending. So separate from the one big beautiful bill, you know, President Trump has already put forward his first rescissions package to peel back some of the overspending. So I'll tell you about that here in just a second. Next up on the phone lines, we've got Glenn in Kalispell listening to KJJR. Glenn, thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
Hi, Aaron. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to forward something to the congressman, if you get in touch with him. I think the Republicans in the party are missing a huge opportunity to be able to break down legislation that's so often in the past has been bundled together. When a legislator votes for something, he doesn't know what he's voting for, and very often we can't hold people accountable for those votes. So if you're breaking legislation down into eatable parts, then we can hold our people accountable. I think that would go a long way to helping the GOP and the Republican Party hold the Democrats accountable for the excuses they make when they say, well, you know, we're just voting for it.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. So separate even from the one big beautiful bill. So the one big beautiful bill, I mean, this is where it's got, you know, funding the deportations. Because if we don't have borders, we don't have a country. When our country's invaded by 10 million, 20 million, who knows how many illegal aliens, we've got to secure our country. We've got to get, I mean, you've got terrorists, murderers, and more. They're all in the mix there, which is partly why we see these riots. You're seeing illegal aliens getting caught up rioting in the streets of America right now. So that needs to happen. We need to, for our farmers and ranchers, and of course many of our farmers on the High Line, yeah, even though the progress is coming along well for the St. Mary's Project, those irrigators are still going to lose out this summer. And so it's just tragic. And so the point being is that we've got a lot that we've got to pack into this one big beautiful bill, the permanent tax relief. If we don't get that across the finish line, we could get hit with the largest tax hike in American history. And every Democrat in Congress voted to do just that. They voted to give you the largest tax hike in American history. But to your point, yeah, that's the next step in the process, which is these appropriations bills, where you go by line by line, agency by agency. And instead of having these omnibus spending bills at the end of the year where they shove everything all into one and then people vote for it because they feel like they have to because of this or that. And then that's, yeah, they've got to go back to that process where, you know, it's one bill, it's one spending bill, it's one appropriations bill, line by line. But I think the House Republicans are moving in a much better direction now. I mean, I think we really are, you know, we really could go back to, for the first time since the Newt Gingrich 90s, where they actually balanced the budget. But they got to stay disciplined. They got to stay together. Glenn, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. Speaking of that rescissions package, yeah, here's the story from Chad Pergram that just got published here earlier this morning, just a little bit ago. The House will vote today on the White House's rescissions package, which will serve as a clawback of $9 billion worth of spending that was previously approved by the Biden regime. But he's saying Republicans may not have the votes to pass it. What the heck?
DOGE can propose, but only Congress can cut. That's what happens today as the House votes to claw back money, which Congress already approved. The GOP is targeting foreign aid, PBS and NPR. Conservatives are looking for deep cuts. But there is some GOP skepticism. Republican Nebraska Representative Don Bacon will not support cuts to foreign aid. And Nicole Malliotakis of New York says her constituents support public broadcasting. Democrats are highlighting that issue. House Republicans may be scrambling for votes, but even if the bill gets through the House, it faces an unclear path in the Senate.
Absolutely pathetic by that Bacon character. And then Malliotakis, whatever the heck her name is. Oh, so my taxpayer, I'm broadcasting right now. We are broadcasting right now. So we don't get a big subsidy from the federal government to do our broadcasting. So why should my taxpayer dollars pay for their broadcasting? Especially when they're broadcasting as a bunch of Democrat party line propaganda, too. Give me a break. So I hope they put a maximum pressure campaign on those two in particular to get that across the finish line. Let's see. Hey, next up, we've got former State Senator Rick Holden out of Glendive. You know, we got a chance to catch up with him a while back. I mentioned it earlier. Big opposition in eastern Montana to these proposed I'm trying to think how to describe it. I like the word that was used earlier, just these massive wind power projects that are being proposed really all across eastern Montana, Fallon, all the way out to Weibo. And, you know, last time we caught up with former State Senator Rick Holden, he was talking about how they are working at the county level to try to get some, you know, restrictions put in place. Rick, great to have you back on the show. I understand there's a planning board meeting tonight, an important meeting tonight in Dawson County.
Yeah. Hi, Aaron, and thanks for having me on. There are a couple things we can bring the people up to date on. First of all, we're getting your signal here in Glendive at the KXGN studios because there are no wind turbines currently blocking that signal from coming in. That's something we want to prevent.
Yeah, great radio station.
Yeah, and so this is really important, this issue out here in eastern Montana. These wind turbines that are coming in here are absolutely massive in size. And each one of them at the rate are going to be the size of the Seattle Space Needle. Now, the Dawson County Planning Board has spent approximately the last 4 months taking public comment on the proposed wind turbine industrial parks that are planned for Dawson County. This also goes in the other counties, starting over Treasure County all the way to Weigel County. This is a huge project. The footprint is massive. Now, the planning committee is going to actually hold a meeting tonight, and they have put in some regulations for public comment for people to look at and to come and go to the courthouse courtroom tonight at 6:30 and make your opinions known to that board of what you think about having these 600-foot structures put in above the city of Glendive. That is the one thing we want to make sure people know about. Secondly, big news coming out of Weigel County. For years, for the past year, I should say, Weigel County has been held hostage, as well as the other counties in eastern Montana, by wind companies. I mean to say that the wind companies have threatened to sue the county commissioners and force the county attorneys into an unviable position if the county commissioners put any kind of regulations in place that would limit these wind turbine projects from going forward. Yesterday, the time limit expired for wind companies to sue Weigel County. So the county commissioners had enough backbone over in Weigel to put in place stringent regulations that would regulate the size and location and the setbacks for these commercial wind turbines, as well as went into the solar energy area as well. And the wind companies just simply said, we're going to sue you if you do this. And the Weigel County commissioners said, okay, we're going to put the rules in effect. The people have spoken. 90% of the people in Weigel support this. and they had 6 months to go through and either object or file suit to stop those regulations from going forward. And yesterday was, or the day before yesterday was the time limit. And so Weigel County comes out with a big win and sets a precedent for Eastern Montana. If you're a county commissioner, do not be afraid to stand up to these wind companies. They're not as big and bad as they want you to believe. If you do things right, you put the regulations in right, you can win.
So, yeah, I mean, it's just amazing to where it's kind of like the Planned Parenthood debate. Like, they don't want to have any regulations on Planned Parenthood whatsoever, but everybody else in healthcare and everybody else in business has a myriad of regulations they have to follow. It's kind of like the same thing with these wind power projects. Like, they don't want to regulate anything. They don't want to tell them what to do, but everybody else has to suffer through all these regulations, especially. I want to go back. Rick, if you can, stay on the phone lines with us here before I get to some other callers, because I want to go back to Dawson County and the meeting tonight. What is the planning board proposing, or is this just kind of the initial public comment on whether they should impose something or not? So stand by, back in 2 minutes.
Hi.
President J.D. Vance lands in Butte and then takes a motorcade to Dillon. Check out the video, the photos, and more, MontanaTalks.com.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's take you back to Glendive, KXGN Country, and former State Senator Rick Holden sounding the alarm on these proposed wind projects out there. So, yeah, Ricky, you were talking about the planning board meeting tonight, 6:30 p.m., Dawson County courtroom. So is the Dawson County Planning Board, do they have a list of regulations or some limitations in terms of location, height, et cetera, for these? Or are they just seeking general comment, basically, tonight before they then look to craft those regulations?
Now, this is important to know. This is essentially could be the last time the public can comment on this issue. The regulations have been drafted tentatively, and they're taking public comment on those regulations. So if you're a member of the public, you need to be there. You need to look those regulations over, and you need to make a comment. They put in place some good things. They've got some setbacks from property lines, depending on how tall a structure is. They also got a buffer zone created around Muskoka State Park. They have a buffer zone around the Yellowstone River Corridor. And there are also setbacks concerning the state highways and the interstate system and people's homes. And so there's some good things in those regulations. One of the blaring defects, though, probably is the fact that there is no limitation on the height. And that's the main driver of this whole discussion, is the height of these wind towers. And the people need to come in, and they need to demand that the planning board put some limitations on the height of these wind turbines, because you simply will lose Montana's Big Sky Country if we let structures come into this country that are the size of the Seattle Space Needle, and then the next generation that's already built, ready to be installed, would be the size of the Eiffel Tower in Paris.
Well, yeah, and it seems like you have a clear argument that that would be a nuisance. You know, I think of Muskoka State Park, beautiful country there, big draw for tourism and folks. And it's like, would even if there's a setback, if the things are so tall, would it ruin the view and everything that you get there? And it's like, you know, there's you know, in many towns across Montana, you can't even build buildings to a certain height, but why would there not be some reasonable expectations on this? So that's some great feedback, good information for folks attending the meeting tonight. Rick Holden, appreciate you calling in and getting the word out.
All right, thank you. And remember, don't sit back. These companies are coming to everybody's counties. You don't know it, but they are there. And if you don't take action now and establish some regulations, you will be sorry.
And, yeah, you made a great point, I think, the last time I had you on, which is like, okay, your kids and your grandkids are going to be left. They're going to be stuck with whatever happens here. Will they have the big sky country that you got to enjoy? Such a powerful message. All right, let's see. We got another caller on the phone lines here. Frank in Evergreen. Frank, what's on your mind?
Hi, Aaron. Yes. Montana is not Mexico. And we have to remember that the early Spanish colonists never made it this far. And there's no history of the of their being in this, this area, period. So it's unfortunate that Montana means mountainous or mountain in Mexican or Spanish. But it's something to think about. Maybe we should stop pretending that we're Mexican because of our name.
So, somebody made a funny comment online. I think it was a congressman at that. He said, did anybody tell the illegal aliens how people in Mexico started speaking Spanish to begin with? You know, all the people complaining about you know, the United States of America. It's like, do you know why they speak Spanish in Mexico? It was not the native language, shall we say. All right, Frank, good to hear from you. Speaking of the L.A. riots, this was hysterical. I saw this on Facebook. I think it's a tweet from Traditionally Sarah. It was on the Conservative Mama Facebook page. And so they're basically talking about what is going on in Los Angeles with the Democrats rallying for the illegal aliens. So Traditionally Sarah writes this. So I went to Costco without a membership. I snuck around the card readers. I didn't want to wait in line to get an actual membership or a one-day pass. They caught me in the store and asked me to leave or go to the service desk and get a membership. Instead of leaving, I demanded free products and food, and I waved a Sam's Club flag in the middle of their store to show them just how much I love Costco and want to stay. When they still asked me to leave, I began stealing whatever I could, and I threw frozen hamburger patties at security. They should have just let me shop there without a membership. I'm special. Anyway, I just thought that was such a great write-up, just pointing out the absurdity of these illegal aliens. On one hand, expressing their hatred for America, flying a foreign flag, but on the other hand, demanding to stay here, demanding to continue to be allowed in this country while they riot and loot and violently attack our law enforcement officers and more. I shared that, facebook.com/Flint Report, and Mike Wilson replied. He says, she forgot the part where they light the cars on fire in the parking lot. So that would be the one other addition to that, too, there. Not only do you throw the frozen burger patties at security, but you got to, you know, go light a bunch of cars out on fire out in the parking lot. And then demand that we all pay for your food and your housing and everything else. There's